encourage one another in our journey, our Christian journey. And, you know, in this journey, we are not without a lot of roadblocks. Because the devil doesn't want us to make eternity in a good state. And among the things that he has done, he has set many false teaching in our way. You know, Christ built one church. But the devil went ahead and made many. And in a sense, we get confused. But even for those of us who would have come to the recognition that Christ built one church, and that that is, in fact, the church of Christ, by our behavior, we often demonstrate that we are very tolerant of false teaching. It's almost as if we tell ourselves that false teaching is not so bad after all. And all my friends and co-workers are sort of okay. They are not in need of finding out that there is but one true church and that there's just one place in which salvation can be found. And so in the lesson tonight, and if we are to title it, I struggled to come up with I had about four or five different titles. You know, not of corruptible seed, or the seed incorruptible. Right, those are the two that I sort of settled on. But what we want to look at for the next few minutes is this principle of the seed. The seed principle, if we wish. And from that we want to, well, understand what is the seed principle. Is there a lesson for us in understanding this principle and its implication for denominations, its implication for false teaching? And while in our audience, immediate audience, you know, probably with the exception of one person who continually hears the truth, it is not so much getting us to recognize that we need to get out of denominations, but it is to equip us to be able to share and to be solid in our own views that something is wrong with denominations. It is an error for us to understand from the words of God that Christ has built but one church, and yet we see it as okay to go to any church or to see persons who are in denominations as okay, and so we do not go about encouraging them, teaching them the truth, the word of God, so that they can come out of their erroneous practice and into truth. And so, understanding the seed and this principle, or the principle on which seeds function, that we can get some insight that can help us in our thinking, and to help us to share with others so that we can help them. Now, the word seed is used in different ways throughout Scripture. You know, in passages like Genesis chapter 13 and verse 15, Genesis 4 verse 25, Matthew 22 and verse 24, we see that seed is referred to as offspring, that which comes from another. And so we see the reference to Seth as being the offspring of Adam and Eve. We also see the use of seed referring to crop. You know, reference to that 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 15. But I want to settle and position this lesson from the use of the word seed in Scripture as being the Word of God. And so when we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through to verse 25, we get the picture of the seed being the Word of God. Could we have that read? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25.
Being born again.
Being born again.
Not of corruptible seed.
Not of corruptible seed.
But of incorruptible.
But of a seed incorruptible.
By the Word of God.
By the Word of God.
Which liveth and abideth.
You can step down to verse 25.
But the word of the Lord.
But the word of the Lord.
Endureth forever.
Endureth forever. It's not interesting because as the lesson progresses, we're going to be talking and saying a lot about the seed corrupted. But the truth is that we are unable, and I probably need to fix this, we are unable to corrupt the word. You see, the word of God will be the word of God forever and ever. What happens is that when we mix up, take away, add to, then what we end up with is another type of seed, which is not the incorruptible seed. And so in a sense, we cannot trouble God's word, but we trouble our own selves when we seek to modify the word of God. In fact, an important principle in respect to the seed is that a seed produces after its own kind. A seed produces after its own kind. So therefore, no matter how it is that I end up with a plum tree in my house, in my yard, and I love mango, no matter what I do, I cannot cause that plum tree to bear mango. The seed that comes from the plum cannot produce mango. Because the principle is that a seed produces after its own kind. Application. A false plan of salvation makes a false Christian. If God, and He has set a plan of salvation to make persons Christian, if we follow another plan, then we cannot become Christians. We end up being false Christians. Because the plan is false, the produce will also be false. You know that the teachings of Christ warns us, tells us that we should take warning against the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, we see this in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that a little leaveneth or swell up the whole dough. And so, we cannot play around with God's word and then think that everything will work out okay. Because just a little spoils the whole thing. But let me get back to the point. For a false plan of salvation makes a false Christian. Brother Webb, where you get that from? Do we have any example of this? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 gives us a wonderful example of a deviation from God's plan of salvation and the resulting effect. Pick up at verse 1 of Acts chapter 19.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples. He said unto them.
He found certain disciples. Now, disciples are followers of persons who are adhering to certain principles, the discipline of. And so he found certain persons who were followers of Christ. Read.
He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?
So these are disciples who believed. Read.
And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.
Wait. What did he ask them?
Have ye received the Holy Ghost?
Have you received the Holy Ghost?
Since ye believed?
So since you believe, then we expect and anticipate that you know about the Holy Spirit. That's a reasonable assumption. Why is this a reasonable assumption? It is reasonable because as Christians, when we became Christians, we got the Holy Ghost as a gift. It is the Holy Spirit that will help us in our spiritual development. So for you to have become a follower and don't know about the Holy Spirit, something is off. So they said, we don't even know about any Holy Spirit. Read.
And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized?
So not only were these disciples persons who believed, but they were actually baptized. But here Paul had to be asking them, so wait, if you don't know about the Holy Spirit, then unto what were you baptized? I want us to realize, you know, that these persons would have believed, would have been baptized, but their outcome is not them being a Christian. And somebody says, well, how do we know that they are not Christians? We're going to see it. Read.
And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized?
Unto what then were you baptized?
And they said, unto John's baptism.
And they said, unto John's baptism. If we are going to become Christians today, then John's baptism is not sufficient. John's baptism is not going to cut it. Just as if we are going to serve God today, as much as Moses had climbed Mount Sinai and got the law delivered to him, if we are going to be saved today, then the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, cannot help us today. A false plan of salvation makes us a false Christian. But let's read. Continue reading.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance.
John baptized with the baptism of repentance.
Saying unto the people,
saying
that they should believe on him which should come after him.
Alright. So, it was all about Jesus, you know, but it was not the baptism of the commission. It was a baptism that was to say that Christ is to come. What we are to be obedient to is the fact that Christ has come. And so when we get baptized, it's under the authority of Jesus Christ, and not after John's baptism. The story finished? Read.
That they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
They were baptized properly. But what is the point? At the point where Paul met them, they would have been persons who heard about Jesus. They were baptism of repentance. So when they baptized, there was some change. They believed. They baptized. They were baptized. But yet, they were not Christians. To the point that Paul didn't say, oh, it's just that you are from John's thing. You are okay. I don't need to trouble you. That was not Paul's posture. His posture was, you are really not a Christian. You need to become a Christian. Now, let's make the application to us. When we come across our relatives, our co-workers who are members of denominations, embracing various teachings, some of which are in alignment with the Word of God. You know, that's one of the smart things the devil does, you know. The devil does not go about, well, he does that too, and does do the total opposite of the Bible. He does that a little. But for 99% of belief that the devil has put out there, he has mixed it with a whole lot of truth. And so, we have to be conscious now that when we come across persons who are holding on to other teachings, we cannot say it is okay. Our posture, our disposition, our behavior ought to be similar to that of the Apostle Paul. Where you now seek to understand where they are and then seek to guide them to have the right plan of salvation so that they can become right Christians. Because if you do the true plan of salvation, they'll become true Christians. Because a false plan of salvation will make a false Christian. You know, I'm going to be coming back to these people in Acts chapter 19. These persons who became disciples as a result of their encounter with the eloquent Apollos. And the fact that they were not deemed and associated with being Christians because of the teachings that they received. But what this highlights for us, though, is something that we see in the biological world, the world of science, that many a seeds have been genetically modified. You know, and it's not good, you know. Based on where technology is, we can do so much to a seed that it produces much more than what would happen naturally. And, you know, I'm not going to pick sides, but, you know, there are two sides of that debate. You know, to the extent that, you know, persons will tell you about organic, you know, food, you know, that you need to have certain things that are, they grow naturally. They don't want anything that is genetically modified. Well, that ought to be sort of our posture. When it comes to the Word of God, we need the organic Word. We need that genetically modified Word. As much as the Word of God, if we engineer it and re-engineer it and put in some hormones in it. Hormones, yeah. You know, yeah, man, there's some hormones, you know. The hormone of instrumental music that draw people in. Because they, you know, like daddy church. But if we have some rhythm that will make things nice and bring in the crowd. Yeah, the hormone of emotionalism. That when I come up here and start talking and I talk about Jesus, and I echo hallelujah, and I allow that to get into my system, so I don't just say hallelujah from my throat, but my hallelujah is coming from my toe right up through my legs to my diaphragm, and when I say hallelujah, then you feel something different. But what am I saying hallelujah about?
That's right.
What it is that I am saying praise God to.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I was coming down the road. Hallelujah. Okay. So I was coming down the road, so I am praising God. And I saw a man standing on the other side of the road. Hallelujah. Why? What is that hallelujah about? And then, because I say hallelujah like that, then you say amen. So you are saying to me that because I'm walking down the road and I see a man across the road, then you are saying so be it. What's the sense in that? You should be saying hallelujah, praise God, because I fell down the stairs. And I could have broke my neck. But praise God.
Amen.
He spared me.
Amen.
Then you can say, praise God.
Amen.
You can say, hallelujah.
Amen.
Because that is something to praise God about. So, coming back to the point that one of the things that have been happening in our era is that many seeds are genetically modified.
Right.
You know, we talk about hybrid. You know, so we talk about having our orange and we have our tangerine. So here it is.
Somebody keep telling me, you know, Brother Webb,
you must write on the board so much, you know, because while you write pretty, your spelling is atrocious. Alright. So it is not a very uncommon thing for us to have our tangerine and we cross it with orange, and we end up having is mandarin. All right, I know it as arsenic. All right, So that is not very uncommon. But you know that a tangerine is not the same thing as an orange. Alright? And an orange is not equivalent to the artini. Not equal. They are not the same. As much as they all give us vitamin C, you can peg them. Some you can peg easier than the other. Alright? They all have rhyme. But they are not the same. And so, you cannot give me an orange and say, here's an artinique. No, they are not the same. A horse you can do modification, cross it with a donkey, and what you get? You get a mule. You know that, right? You don't really have mules producing mules. Alright? But the truth is that a horse is not a donkey. And a mule is not a donkey, and it's not a horse. True? They're not the same. So when we genetically modify things, and even when I take my mango tree and I engraft, technology is a nice thing, you know. You can have, you know, because you don't have a lot of yard space, and more in Jamaica we're having less and less yard space. So let's say I have a place of one dege tree. Just one. And because I love mango, and I love East Indian, I love Bambi, I love Julie. Alright? Those are my three favorites. See? Alright? But just for disclosure, I like long mango, 11 number, and all of the rest. Alright? Okay. Just letting you know, sir. That's it. Yeah. Alright. But where technology is, I can plant my one tree. And on one limb, I can engraft an East Indian on this limb. I can get a Julie on that one, and I can get a Bambi on that one. And somebody says, see there? We can all coexist. But the truth is that it is one tree, and it's really the East Indian tree limb that you engraft here that is producing the East Indian. So you can't really say that this tree is a Julie mango tree or an East Indian. Alright? The main tree will be what it is. Alright, so you won't find that the East Indian will grow from the Bambi limb. Alright? Point. While we can genetically modify things, the seeds, the resulting thing is not the same. When we contaminate it, we are not having the original anymore. Can we make application spiritually? If it is, that we have a Christian and we mix Christian truth with Adventists. Then this is going to make something like a Adventist Christian. Well, can I tell you that a Christian is not an Adventist? An Adventist Christian is different from an Adventist. An Adventist Christian is different from a Christian.
That's right.
Whatever Adventist Christian is.
That's right.
If we should take a Baptist and cross them in their teaching, well, let's not go so far, you know. So even let's take the Adventist and the Church of God, the Pentecostal. All right, because years ago I said, oh, somebody said they are part of the Church of God, but they meet on a Saturday, and I said, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, but you have different strains of Adventists.
That's right. That's right.
You know, in fact, even when you're talking with Sabbath persons, you can't make the assumption that because they worship on Saturday that they are Adventists. With the debates we had with the late Ian Boyne.
That's right.
That was sort of one, at one stage, one of his trump cards.
Yeah, sure.
Because he would carry you down the line.
That's right.
And you know, debating with him.
That's right.
And you carry down the line and let you make all the long presentation like you're debating against an Adventist.
That's right.
But he was really embracing Armstrongism. So the worldwide Church of God. But the Adventists and the worldwide Church of God, which meets on a Saturday, are not the same. Even though they would have wrapped up some of the Adventist teaching, so they have made themselves something different. So as much as they all believe in God and believe in worship and Saturday, they are not the same. So we need to be conscious that the seed produces after its own kind. You know, in fact, what you find, you know, like let's say the Roman Catholic or the Baptist. Both of these organizations and many others have other material that you have to study in order to know how to become a Baptist.
That's right.
So for the Baptist, you have the Baptist manual. Because the truth is, if you study the Word of God and follow it, you will never be able to become a Baptist.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Word of God, studied by itself, will never make you a Baptist.
Amen.
Because many of the practices that they have as Baptists is nowhere in Scripture.
Amen.
So if you should read the Bible over and over, you'd never become a Baptist.
That's right.
So how do they ensure that that they can have Baptist followers? Well, they have to come up with a Baptist manual.
That's right.
And so when you study the manual and practice the manual, then you will become a Baptist.
That's right.
The Catholics,
that's right,
they have to have their catechism.
That's right.
That they don't, well, they don't even make everybody study it.
That's right.
But as you go into the lineage of the priest and so forth, and you're learned into their things and exposed to certain things, then you can know how to become a Catholic. Because if you study the Bible, you'd never be able to become a Catholic.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
You can't study the Bible and sprinkle holy water.
That's right.
Where you get that from? That's not in the Bible. So as much as they seem similar, they are not the same. Now, we need to be careful of modification. You see, we like newness. We like difference. But we have to be careful how we modify. I thought, I'm sorry, I took down the horse and the donkey and the mule. Because that is sort of dramatic. Did you know that a mule cannot produce an offspring? The only way to get a new mule is to bring together a horse and a donkey. So when that mule is born, you can't say, okay, let me now take the mule and mate it with another mule and get another mule. No. That cannot happen. Well, did you know that it is impossible for a person who has been genetically modified in their exposure to the Word of God to cause another person to become a Christian? So, when the Adventist teaching is mixed up with Christian teaching, and then you become the Adventist Christian, then what this Adventist Christian teaches cannot make a person a Christian.
That's right.
It's just, it cannot, following the same seed, produce back a Christian.
It cannot
use this mixed up, contaminated, corrupted seed and get back a Christian, because it is already corrupted. Another thing is that why we have to be careful about modifying the word, the seed, is that it contaminates those around us. Can I get back to Apollos as I promised? We read in Acts chapter 19 about the followers, the disciples of Apollos. They heard the teachings of Apollos and they held on to it. But when Paul came on the scene, finding them something like this, you know? Yeah, probably want to call it Jauntist Christian, you know? But when Paul came on the scene and found them, they had to be retaught. They had to be exposed again to the pure seed. And then they became Christian. But while they were in this contaminated, corrupt, when they had the seed all corrupted, they could not become Christians. They became something else. But here is it, and I'm speaking to the Christians. We have to make sure that we study. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, why do I need that? You know, if we fail to study and understand God's truth, and we go about and teach, we modify, we genetically modify the word of God, the seed, God may very well, you know, we might need some correction, but God may very well still hold us as Christians.
Alright, so I need to put that in some quotes. Alright. But we have to be so careful, because what we end up teaching can end up causing other persons to lose their soul.
That's right. That's right.
You know something? That was really happening to Apollos here.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Here it is. That Apollos, when the time was proper, that is before Christ actually came and, well, died, he was exposed to John's teaching at the right time. And so he took on discipleship at the right time. When Christians came upon Apollos in Acts 18, from about verse 24 following, I think I'm just going to relate it for time's sake. When he was there preaching, they say he was an eloquent, mighty man in terms of how he expressed himself. And he was there teaching, and when they listened to him, this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and when they heard him, they realized that him don't really have it all together. There was some amount of contamination happening. And so they took him aside and they explained to him, they taught him the things more perfectly. And because he had embraced that and taken that on at the right time, Scripture has not revealed to us that he was asked to be baptized. But guess what? Like his disciples, he was exposed to John's baptism.
That's right. That's right.
But he was not asked to be baptized again. He was in a right relationship, but he needed more learning.
Right.
We have to be careful that even as Christians, that we need to be super careful about what we teach.
Amen.
Because if we move away, if we modify the Word of God, we can jeopardize others.
Amen.
You know, I talk about deathbed confession and cry for God's mercy at a deathbed. Lord have mercy. As Christians, we sort of have a little privilege. You know, I don't want to get into God's business too much, but because we are Christians, even when we miss the mark, even at the end, because of our relationship with Him, we can call for mercy and for forgiveness. And we can, for want of a better word, we can get in. Right. Here was Apollos in his ignorant state. He was going about teaching his ignorance. But those persons who he taught were not even considered to be Christians at all. So while he was considered to be a follower, a disciple, when he taught them the same thing that he had practiced, that he had believed in all sincerity, they did not become Christians. And so they needed to be taught all over. But the point is, we have to be very careful about what we teach. We have to be very careful. Because now that we know a little bit more and we study a little bit and we probably don't understand the big picture, and we start teaching things that don't go so.
That's right.
So all of a sudden, you know, we have thoughts about same-sex marriage.
Uh-huh.
We have thoughts about women's place in the church.
We have thoughts about instrumental music in worship. We have to be careful how we start teaching these things, because we can actually cause others to lose their soul. And then when we come to some enlightenment and say, oh, you know, I was wrong, then here's the dilemma. Can you get back to every person who you had led falsely, who is now out there thinking that they are in a safe state? Even those of us who want to think that we are more mature and we are a little bit more learned, we have to be careful what we go about sharing while we are contemplating. So if there is truth that we are unsure about, it's good to study it. But while you are studying, careful how you influence the young. The unlearned. Why not take somebody who you think knows a little bit more of the scripture and have one-on-one discussion to help with your learning and your understanding? More than causing and drawing persons into your belief that you are still testing. Be careful. Because we can contaminate those around us. The contaminated word may. I want to say that different way so you hear the me. The contaminated word may leave persons, Christians, still in need of correction, but converts end up being non-Christian. So all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, through the annals of history, because we know that in the first century, persons who were being baptized had to be immersed. But somewhere, some smart person decided to genetically modify baptism.
That's right.
A serious genetical modification, I think. All of a sudden, baptism is no longer an immersion. All of a sudden, baptism is no more a plunging under. But it can be a pouring, a sprinkling. And guess what? So effective has this genetic modification of baptism been that if you should today Google baptism, if you should pull the Oxford Dictionary and check out what is baptism, it will include sprinkling. Genetically modifying the word. But guess what? Even though by their influence and the craftiness of what they have done, the word of God has not changed. It stands forever. Baptism is still an immersion. To be baptized properly, you still have to go under. Even though even the dictionary says it includes sprinkling. Genetically modified baptism. So let me say it again. The contaminated word may leave persons, Christians, in need of correction, but the converts, it may leave being non-Christian. So we have to be careful. But can I roll back to where I started? We often trivialize, make very trivial denominations. It's almost like we're saying, yeah, they are okay. They are not so bad. It's just a little difference in belief. But it is not so. When we have denominations with different beliefs, when persons have gone about in all kind of creative way to genetically modify the word, it is not the word anymore.
Amen.
And so when persons are out there, we cannot see them as Christians. So we need to do like Paul and recognize that they need to be exposed to the pure seed. The seed that is not corrupted.
Amen.
Because it's only that that can make them safe. So we need to be seeing our friends. We need to be seeing our co-workers. We need to be seeing those family members who we grew up and look on and respect and love. And recognize that because they are not embracing Christianity, then I have to find a way to share the uncorrupted seed with them. Because in their state, corner dark. They are not okay. Danger is lurking. I'm going to stop here. Time is gone. We hope that the thoughts will be upheld to us in our journey. Remember, we have the devil as our enemy. And he's trying to weaken even us to think that things are okay when things are genetically modified spiritually. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation.